try to make the, I'll try to get in time. In general, I just got caught up with something last minute. But I think we'll try 120 to 250. That's our plan at present. Okay. How do we do this? Okay. Like this?
Okay.
Seems a little silly, but okay. What we do for... What? And then they'll let me actually go into the buildings, you think? Maybe. Is there no air conditioning in here? Or the old-fashioned type, the wind, I'll just... Okay. Okay, let's begin with the sugya. Again, it's a little bit of a complicated sugya, but we want to move quickly, so we'll try to stick to highlights. Let's have somebody read. Yitzhak, you want to do the honors? Okay, let's start again from the Mishnah. But we're not going to go over what we did. We're just going to continue with Ayin Gimel Amrav. I just want to make a ha'ara on the Mishnah first, though. Yeah. Okay, so we have a number of cases here in the Mishnah. It's worth speaking about this for a minute. So let's just analyze them one by one very, very quickly, and then the Gemara will focus in for us. The first case, Yitzi, is Ganav al Pishnaim, Tavachal Machar al Pien, Vinim Suzomim, Shalim Hakol. So that seems to be the least controversial, let's say, of the bunch, right? Because if you have, there are two components here to get a full chiv dalad behave, is gneva and tvicha mechira. So if you have both adios and hazama on both, so you're going to pay the both. Even though it seems to be the least controversial, in a minute the Gemara is going to raise some difficulties with that. Okay. What about the second case? Ganav al pishnayim, atavach amachar al pishnayim acherim, elav elu nimtzu zomimim, harishonim misham tashume kefal, achronim misham in tashume gimel. What do you think about that? How so? Even though it's two ADOs, we can, because the other one was two contents, but one kat, right? That was two tochen of ADOs, but there was one kat. Here, two kitaid. Should that make a difference? Does that make it into a chiddush? I mean, it is a different case. The Mishnah listed separately. What in particular is mechudash, if anything, about this case? Or what ha'ara should be made? Exactly, because we've encountered already, right, that it's not so simple to say that you can ever split up the payments in Dalad Behe. Right? We know that the Gemara in a few places says that, you know, there's Dalad Behe, but there's not a base of Gimel or Gimel of a Dalad. So if you split the, if there's no kefal, the main kefal, ain dalad vehe. The question is, what does that mean? So in some contexts, it's pretty clear that all it really means, again, if you look at the Gemara in Ksubis, when the Gemara talks about kom lebit rabba minei, one certainly could say that it's nothing to do with the tashlumin numbers, it has only to do with the mechayvin, meaning if you're, dalad vehe is a continuation, it's an extension of kefal. And if you're potter mikefel, then you're never going to be chayiv for dalad vehe. The fancy way of saying that through the gzeras hakasuv is dalad vehe below gimel v'dalad or base v'gimel, whatever the case may be. But it doesn't necessarily mean more than that. But here and there, it sounds like some of the rishonim think that there really is a halacha of the gzeras hakasuv that says that when it comes not only to the mechayiv of dalad vehe, but to the kiyama tashlumin as well. That when it comes to the Kiyama Tashlumin, that there's no such configuration, no number of base v'gimel or gimel v'dalet, it's either everything or nothing. And if that's the case, so we had a little bit in the concept of Chamisha Chatzai Bakar, it might come up, although that too we suggest it could be read in more than one way, right? But certainly one way to read the Gemara is that the Gemara's Safek is exactly in that issue. And even if you say that Chamisha Chatzai Bakar isn't a problem, that at least is, you know, for technical reasons, perhaps. But it would be comparable to that. So there's a bit of a chiddush here that we don't seem to be bothered by this numbers issue when it comes to Hazama. Yeah.
It is Hazama. Maybe we mentioned earlier, how do you view, is it shear, or is it actually a minimum? It's just a shear, meaning that's what they tried to do, so we just throw it. It's not really dollar. It's not really give a dollar.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe this is, so maybe there are one of two conclusions to be reached here. You're absolutely right. One is that in general there is no such halacha in the actual numbers, and every time we encounter this halacha, it really relates to the mechayvim and not the technical kiyum atashlumin, and that's why here, where there's no question of the mechayiv, it's not half of a mechayiv, right? It's just a question of the kiyum atashlumin, and therefore it's not a problem in this context. That's one approach. The other approach would be to say exactly what Baruch Tov is suggesting, which is that maybe in Hazama there's no problem because, you know, if you're talking about the Kiyum HaTashlumin of Geneva, so there's a Gzeres HaKasuv that says you pay the full amount, Dalad V'Hei, or you don't pay anything. There's no lesser configuration. But the point here is more Lamaisa. In other words, what were the Eidim Zomim, if we had listened to them, what additional funds? So basically, the real halacha isn't base of a gimel. It's $100. In other words, if the chefetz haganuv is X amount of money, so it's the 2X or 3X that they are going to be responsible for, and that's why we punish them. But we don't really care about the 2 and the 3X. What we really care about is what that translates into in dollars and cents. For our purposes, the difference between their lie and the truth is not 2 times 50 or 3 times 50, but it's $150. And since we're not dealing with the kiyum atashlumin per se, but with simply a monetary figure, so for that reason, this halacha would not bother us, even if there was such a technical halacha. But that's not such a davar pashut, right, Baruch Tov? I mean, one could say this, and Misvara makes a lot of sense to say it, but it's not so pashut to say it either. Why? I'm sorry? Maybe it depends on mandam or knas and mamon, but either way, the point is we had the Tosas, the discussion in Tosas earlier, a couple of dapim earlier, right, where we discussed whether or not basisam lakashizam lasos lachiv in the implementing of the onesh. So is it just, what we just said? You figure out the monetary impact and you're mechayiv hazama on that basis. Or in the case of hazama and the implementation of the onesh, what you always have to consider is, what would have happened to the nidon halachically, right? That we discussed that question, we were talking about knossos, right? Tosa said this idea that... Right, the Tosas here on Ayin Aleph Amid Aleph, Dibra Maskil, which one is it? Vakaimelon. Is that the one? Yeah. So we pointed out that let's say the Eidim Zomimim would have been Mechayev a Knas. So is there any relevance to the issue of Misa Umamon or Malkus Umamon, that's a regular Kamle Midravimine type issues, is that relevant at all in applying it to the Tashlumen of the Eid Zome? So Tosis on Ayin Aleph Amid Aleph says, yes, right? And what I tried to point out, that's when we discussed this, I tried to point out at the time, even if you hold Eid Zome in Knas, that's not so obvious, because the Knas is a Knas of Azama, not the Knas, Ki'ilu, that you're trying to Mechayev him, which is a lie. By the same token, even if it's Eidim Zomim Mamon, maybe that's exactly the point. Kasha Zomla, so Sachiv is never just about Gram Hahefsed with a dollar figure. It's always about, now let's play that you are the Nidon. And if you're the Nidon, then what you're going to Mechayiv is Knas or Mamon is relevant to your Kiyum HaTashlumin as well. So applying this same discussion, I think it's an open and interesting question, what would be here? So if we say it's just about the money, they say then the whole discussion of base and gimel is irrelevant. But let's say we say that we turn him, into the nidon. If we're really turning him into the nidon, so then is it possible that the Beis and Gimel still apply? Or the other way to look at it is, it's not really Beis and Gimel. Because treating him as a Nidon, we're saying, well, there's a Chiyuv Dalet V'Hei, which in this fiction is a continuation of the Kefel. So actually, that's what I say, if you take this perspective, it becomes an interesting open question whether the Beis V'Gimel problem exists or doesn't exist. Okay. So far, just to sum up, I'm just raising the point that in this Mishnah we seem to encounter a case of Beis V'Gimel, and that there are several perspectives to explain that. One is that Beis V'Gimel is never really a problem. It's never exerts a kasuv about the money or the amount. It really always is a symptom about the mechayiv and the cutting off of kefel from Dalet V'Hei, in which case, in this case, it wouldn't be an issue or a problem at all. But that has to be weighed against Rashi and Ksuvis and the other places and the question of Chamisha Chatzai Bakar, etc. That's perspective number one. Perspective number two is that in Ochanami there is a configuration problem. But here we're talking not about kiyum tashlumei gneva, but kiyum tashlumei onesh hazama. And that's always about money. It's never about the actual mechayiv. Number three, even if it is about the mechayiv, because hazama isn't just a dollar figure and a gram hefsed, but it really is putting him ki'ilu as the nidon, from that point of view, how far do you go with that? And is this Beis V'Gimel, or is this the Beis V'Gimel that fictionally is connected to a Gneva, in which case it's really part of Dalet V'Hei? Now, just one other Ha'ara, and that is, we have this in the second case of the Mishnah. I just made a fuss about it. It's even a bigger Chiddush in a way in the third case of the Mishnah. Or at least I think it is, right, Yitzi? What do you think? The third case of the Mishnah is a case where so what's that case? That's a case where you only have, that's in the first case, you basically have two sets of Edom Zomim. Right? One set of Edom Zomim is going to be Chayiv Kefel. The other set of Edom Zomim is going to be Mechayiv Gimel V'Dalet. So in addition to the other three things that we just said, we can now suggest a fourth. And that is, even if we really are concerned about the configuration, and that would really be Ma'akev, right? From every point of view, nonetheless, maybe there's something else to say, and that is that when you have two kite edim, right, one of whom is zomimim on the gneva, the other of which are zomimim on the dalet v'hei, another chiddush is, or another way to look at this chiddush is, that they integrate into one. And therefore there's no problem of ein gneva, ein tvicha mechira. There might be two different groups of people who are paying here, but it's all one act of hazama. But it's harder, if that's the point and the reason we're not concerned, then it's harder to say that about the third case, which is a case where the hazama is limited to the tvicho mechira. Because there you have a case where the kefel is being paid by the ganav, that has nothing to do with hazama, right? And the beis v'gimel, if you will, is being paid by just by the Edom Zomim. It's hard to say that they're mitztaref with the ganav. Right. So whatever we, the point is that even if we have a ready answer, an easier answer for case number two, case number three seems to be a bigger kiddush. Now all this is particularly relevant for whom? Maybe. Oh, you want to ask a question first? What do you mean to meet starif with each other? Again, you have a case where there really is a ganav, and he's chayiv kefel, but they made up, they fabricated, the two edim fabricated the tzvicho mechira, right? They fabricated the additional chiyuv, and we're imposing that additional chiyuv on them. So what I was saying is, in the previous case, the whole chiyuv, gneva, and kefel was also fabricated. So basically, between the two kite edim, you have a fabrication of gneva, kefel, and dalet v'hei. In this case, you have a real gneva of a kefel, and then you have two edim in the context of azama only getting the dalet v'hei. Okay. Now, for whom might this be relevant? For the Rambam. Right? What does the Rambam say? Where is it? Perek Chaf Aleph Halacha Vav? Is that? Yeah. No one saw the Rambam? Shnaim Shidu Azesha Gana V'Tavach O Machar V'Huzmu Mishalma Lo Sakol. Right? That is the Resha of our Mishnah. And that's what the Rambam says, Kipshuto. Is there a problem when the Rambam quotes the Mishnah Kipshuto? Ben, what do you think? It's interesting that you have to think about it. The ratio. Shnaim Shidu al Zesh Shagana V'Tavach. This is a bit of a trick question. I thought you were just going to say no and we can move on, but that wouldn't have been the right answer either. But it is a little bit of a trick question. Shnaim Shidu al Zesh Shagana V'Tavach Hamachar Behuzmu Mishal Min Lo Sakol. Ram quote. That's the ratio of the Mishnah. Is there anything to say about that? Well, not yet in our classroom context, but there will be in a minute. Meaning? Normally, it's not a problem if the Rambam quotes the Mishnah. That's the Rambam just, you know, dutifully recording Torah Shebaal Peh. Right. Can't blame the Rambam for that. Unless the Mishnah is qualified by the Gemara, and the Rambam doesn't convey those qualifications. Right. So we'll soon see in a minute, this is a very problematic Rambam, as it happens. Because the Rambam doesn't say what the Gemara says in a couple of minutes, which is, at this case, even the ratio is a problem. So we'll get to that in a minute. Okay. Next case. He'idu shnayim sheganav, ve'idu shnayim acherim shetavach ha-machar, ve'huzmu elu v'elu. That's the second case of the Mishnah. You have two kitei edim, both of which are fabricating. One's fabricating gneva v'kefel, the other's fabricating tvicho mechira. Harei arishonim, meaning the ones who said about the Geneva, Mishalme lo tashlume kefel, v'achronim mishalmim tashlume shnayim o shlosha. So far, so good. Right? Second case of the Mishnah is quoted kipshuto in the Rambam. However, what about the third case? Huzmu ha'achronim bilvad. Right? That's the third case. Hariaganef mishalim tashlume kefel. So far, so good. V'ha'edim achronim mishalmim leganef tashlume arba v'chamisha. Okay? What do you say about that? Yeah, well, again, the language of the Mishnah was Hu Mishalim Tashlumei Kefel, Vehein Mishalim Tashlumei Gimel. So here the Rambam is not quoting the Mishnah. In the Resha, the Rambam's problem is, which we'll get to in a second, is that he's quoting the Mishnah. Right? In the third case, you can call it the Bava Tlisa if you want. The Rambam's problem is that he's not quoting the Mishnah. He's saying that the Achronim pay the Ganav Tashlume Arba V'Chamisha. Then just to round up the Rambam, Nimtz Echad Min Achronim Zomeim Batla Eidus Shnia. Okay, that's Kipshuto. Nimtz Echad Min Arishonim Zomeim Batla Kola Eidus She'im Ein Gneva Ein Tvicha. Okay, fine. So there are two problems in the Rambam. One is that he quotes the ratio without qualification. We'll get to that in a second. The other one is that he quotes the third case. He changes the reading of the Mishnah. According to the Rambam, it sounds like you pay dalad behay. Now, there are other girsos in the Rambam. I'm not sure if he brings it here. In the Shinui and the Skos, that's one second. Yeah. Tashlim arba v'chamisha b'kama kitzveyad teimaniyim shnayim u'shlosha. So that makes more sense and fits into the Mishnah, but, you know, it's the old lectio difficilior rule, which is that, you know, when somebody changes a text so they can read better, one should be suspicious. Because, right, I mean, you see a difficult text and, you're going to change it, you know, so it'll be easier to read or that it'll conform to the Mishnah. So the Kisveyad Teimaniyim, are they an adjustment just because they couldn't believe it? Or do they really reflect the real text? So let's assume for the moment that the real text is the difficult text, which sounds counterintuitive, but that's the, you know, that's the prevailing rule of manuscript authentication. But what does the Rambam mean? So the Nosa Kalim, some of them, suggest that what the Rambam has in mind here is something else. That he means to be mashlim the Dalet Vehei. Just one second. I think the Radvaz says it. Maybe not. I saw that somewhere, I don't remember where. So that all the Rambam means is to be mashlim the Dalet Vehei. Okay, if that's all the Rambam meant, then there's no chiddush in the halacha of the Rambam, but there's still a chiddush in the lashon of the Rambam. Because in the previous case, as we just noted, the Rambam says, Beis V'Gimel. Why here does he say to be mashlim the Dalet Vehei? That's to pay the discrepancy. Unless we explain what we did a second ago, which is that case 2 and case 3 are quite different. In case 2, there's no issue and there's no problem. And therefore, the Rambam's not even self-conscious. Because in case 2, we're just talking about between, it's almost like a shutfus on the Geneva and the Tvicha and the Chiv, if there was such a thing possible. It's still a bit of a chiddush, because in real Geneva, if anybody other than the Ganav or his Shliach does the Tvicha and the Chira, right, it's not going to be Mechayev. But we're talking about Hazama. We're making a little bit of allowance for Hazama. So then we can split up what each one pays. And here we're being told that it's Betoras Hashlamas Dalet Vehei of what would have been. The reason we have to say that is because we're worried about the Gimel V'Dalet problem. However, if we go further and read the Rambam really Kipshuto, so then we have even a bigger Chiddush. And that is that the Rambam thinks that you must have the configuration of Dalet Vehei. Again, in the middle case, for the same reason that we just explained, in the second case, you can get away with it because you do, between the combination of the Adam Zomim, the Chiddush is that there can be a combination. Once there is a combination, so then you have the Dalet Vehei. But since, in the third case, as we explained, you have the real Ganav, and then you have the Adam Zomim, and you don't have the full Dalet Vehei and the Adam Zomim, so Echanami, you have to pay the Dalet Vehei. That would be a huge Chiddush. Yeah. Instead of saying all or nothing, you go for the all. Yeah.
But it also assumes that Dalet Vehei is not a positive capable of cost of four. Assuming that.
Right. Very good. You would have to say that the Dalet. Right. Now this idea of there being all or nothing, and in which you can go for the all, also assumes that Dalet Vehei is not working off of Kefel. But when there's also Kefel, so then you're not going to pay, you know, Bechlal, the Dalet Vehei will also count. It's almost like the Kefel will be Ola Liatzmo, and it'll be Ola for the Dalet Vehei. I think Baruch Dov's R is very good. But here what we're saying is, since there are two different parties, and they have nothing to do with each other, one is the Ganav, who has nothing to do with the Tvicha Mechira, the other is the Adam Zomim, who have nothing to do with the Geneva and the Kefal. So what we're saying is, the potential every Tvicha Mechira is to be Mechayiv, Kishmo Keinu, Dalet Vehei, not just Beis V'Gimel on top of the Kefal. And therefore, in a situation like this, where you don't have any continuity to the Kefal, you're really Mechayiv, Dalet Vehei. That would be an important condition. And 99% of the cases where that doesn't happen, we now understand it for a totally different reason. It's not because the Dalet Vehei adds the 2 and the 3, as long as the Kiyama Tashlumin is still in the 4 and 5 way, it's because you don't have to pay it twice, essentially. Okay? Good. Okay, so much for the Mishnah. Okay, now let's go on to the Gemara. So now we're going to the Gemara on Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph. Okay, where we left off at the end of the Zman. It's not. Tanhas, Tanan. It's a god. No, That's a very fair assumption, right? So the order of the Eidos is a logical one, and the order of the Hazamos follows the order of the Eidos, again, in the actual sequence of events, or the sequence of the simulated or fabricated events. Okay, so that's a simple reading of the Mishnah. Now comes the question, V'isal gadaitach. So 1 second, so what's this question? One more time, explain.
So if you say
that which is the Machlokes in Abaye and Rava, and it's the way that we paskin, because it's one of the Alkagams,
right? Then
after all, by the time you gave the Eidos on the Tvicha, you already pasul Eidos, and if you're pasul Eidos, where's the Vasisam Lokasha Zomam Lasos? If he's already an aid posel at the time of the Eidos Hazama, then he shouldn't be chayev for that Hazama. That's the unstated but clear assumption here, that you can't be chayev for Hazama if the Dizman HaEidos, you're already posel. If a karov or a posel gives Eidos, which is false, since he couldn't affect the case because of his psul, there is no concept of Hazama. So here too, Lemafreya, he's already been nipsal. Okay. Good. So this is an obvious, this is a good, strong question, right? Any weaknesses in the question? The assumption itself. Okay, but let's assume the assumption is correct with regard to the example that I just gave. Let's say somebody is a Karov or a Rasha, and now he gives Eidos, which is false. And it turns out that, that it's Imanoa Yisem. So let's assume that we accept that idea that there will be no Vasisim Lakashazom Lasos Lachiv, since he didn't really have a chance. So is that exactly comparable to this case? Exactly. So if this idea, this general idea that once you're a Karov apostle, you cannot be subject to Hazama, if that just depends on the formality of it, meaning if you're apostle b'shas Haggadah, there's no Hazama, so then probably there's no reason to be Mechalik. But just technically, at least, on the surface, there is a difference in the case. In one case, in the classic case, we're talking about somebody who is apostle Mikan Olahba, right? And he's posel from some other, based on some other foundation, right? Some other case. Here, we're talking about a situation where internally, right, it turns out that you are a posel because of your Hazama, Lemafreya. The question is that identical? So the Gemara's question is certainly that it is. On the surface, the Gemara's question is a strong one. Okay. Well, I'll just have to see whether or not this distinction is going to help us for anything. Go ahead, Omri. Tchila. Oh. So now the Gemara says something which is what? Obvious, good, problematic. Huge chiddush. Right. Why? Because as the Gemara will say next line, the Gemara says we're talking about a case where the Hazama and the Tzvicha is first, and somehow that gets you out of the problem of Eidos Psul. Okay, go ahead. Omri. A Tzvicha, right? V'huzmu. Okay, stop there for a second. We just have a few things to talk about before we move on. So what's the Gemara's question? The Gemara says, what are you talking about that the Hazama of the Tvicha took place first? When the Hazama took place is not relevant. When the Psul existed L'mafreya is what's important. And even if the hazama on the tzvicha is first, once there will be a hazama on the gneva, igoy milsal mafreya, that the edus on the tzvicha was bipsol. And therefore, the Gemara says its answer, which is vivasachas. And we'll get to that in a sec. Let's take one thing at a time. So this havamina, salvageable or not? I mean, just a mistaken line in the Gemara? Or there is a kernel of a thought there. Yeah.
Is it possible you can say that Enach Nami, that Lumafreya, it's going to uproot the tzvicha because he sends it back to the Tamil Neva, and that would prevent their proper Nizama at the time of tzvicha. But Lemaisa, the court was Nizami, created the onesh of the Hazama right now from tzvicha, so even though it's practically would have uprooted it, Basin's already created the onesh sort of stands,
because
Basin established it.
Good. In other words, what you're saying is, if I understand it correctly, that maybe it could be made. What the Gemara had in mind was, it's one thing to say that you will not apply Hazama based on a Psula Mafreya, B'shas Haggadah. But to say that we will undermine or undo Hazama based on a psul edus lamafreya, that far we don't go. Right? Okay. Now the question is, fine. That's a fine formulation. Does it make logical sense? Why should the timing of the hazama be relevant as opposed to the timing of the edus bepsul?
I think it depends on the way in which you look at the basin's role, I think, in hazama.
Okay.
Meaning, if it's more of a knas, and the basin sort of creates it sort of formally, so then I would see that it's, or a person might see that its existence is sort of the onesh and the ramification of the decision of the court, but hazama sort of stands there artificially alone and sort of on its own. But if it's very practical, and this is, you know, what they owe, so then practically...
What they owe because of the lie that they told.
Correct, right. So then practically, we would go back and we would uproot the...
Very good. I agree with you fully. So let's just put it in context of our previous discussions. I keep feeling like I'm wearing two ties, and then I realize, yes, I am wearing two ties. Okay. But there's another one going on here as well. What's this one? A backup?
The sash.
What? Oh, good. Okay. Anyways, so let's go back to Michael's idea here, which is, okay, basically what we're saying is the Gemara's Havamina was, it's rejected, or so it would appear. But basically the Havamina was that the Zman HaHazama is going to be important. Why should the Zman HaHazama be important? After all, the whole point is that the Eidos wasn't really a threat, and Igloi Milsa L'Mafrei it wasn't a threat. So what we're saying is, Igloi Milsa L'Mafrei, that the Eidos isn't a threat, will preclude a hazama that has not yet taken place. But it will. The Gemara didn't think that it would undo a hazama which has already taken place at the time of the hazama going forward. There was not yet any evidence of edus being ineffective or bipsul. Correct? Now the question is, well, why do we really care about the sequence of the hazama when what we're really interested in is the effectiveness of that original edus? So Michael's suggesting that this depends, you'll tell me if I'm misquoting you, this depends really on how we understand the psul edus of hazama and the dinim of hazama in a more general way. Right? So let's just add our previous discussion, which was, Rava says a zome mikan olahabahu nifsa. And according to one day in the Gemara, that's a dindaraisa. Chidushu shechidusha Torah, maichos tesamchas ahai smoch ahai. Right? And we explained that what that means is that hazama is just a glorified hakhasha, but in the sense that not to upgrade hakhasha, but to downgrade hazama, meaning we're not really sure that there is sheker at all. It's just as a process and a shame hazama. Hazama creates psul. That's why Rava thinks that the psul is mikano lahava. Right? That is Rava's shita. We don't paskin like Rava, it's one of the Al-Kagams. We paskin like Abaya, who says L'mafreya hu nifsa. But within that, what we discussed for about a week, right, towards the end of this month, was what does Abaya hold? Abaya completely rejects Rava and says that what we're dealing with in Hazama is Eidos Sheker, And that's the reason why it's l'mafreya. It's not l'mafreya, it's l'mafreya. Meaning, it's not a din of l'mafreya, it's that, you know, in light of what we now know, which is that this guy was lying last week when he came to court, so last week already he was a shakran, and he was pasaliedus bevadai. Al hazama is a mechanism of knowing that he is a gavarasha and a shakran. And why is that so? Because the Ramban's explanation, right, that when it comes to Hazama, the Edom are Nidonim, not competing Edom. Fine. That's one explanation. Abaya thinks that Hazama is a process of Kvius Sheker, both in terms of the Onesh, and especially in terms of the Psul Edus, it's based on Sheker. If that's the case, then actually the Hazama, let me say it this way, the Hazama is just a mechanism. And the sequence of events, the details of the Hazama, when they take place, what order they take place, fundamentally are, I would say, completely unimportant. They're going to be of less importance, because basically what we're really concerned about is the impact of the Hazama on the original Haggadah Seidus, which was B'Sheker. So the sequence of Hazama, right, is less important than always retrojecting the significance l'mafreya to the Haggadah. However, if we take the other view, which we associated at the time, I might add, with which Rishon? A number of Rishonim, but in prominent ones. Yoni? What is the other view? I should say what the other view is first. Which is that Abaya disagrees with Rav, but more in practice than in principle. He thinks that it's l'mafreya, but it's a halacha of l'mafreya, it's a din in consistency. If already you're going to treat the Edom Zomim as if they are liars, because you're going to implement an onesh, how can you give somebody an onesh unless you're projecting that they're liars? Now, even though we don't really know that they're liars, because it's trey u'trey, right? My chaz is a samcha sahai, smocha hai. But the din Torah, the halacha says that if this and this happens, this is how you proceed. Bevadai, you passel them, and you give them this onesh, right? So if that's the case, it's not appropriate to do that only mikan olahaba. You have to go back and apply it in a consistent way as well. But if it's a consistent application rather than a substantive, objective psul, so then Abaya also thinks that Hazama is Chiddushu Shechiddush Torah, and even according to Abaya, we're never really sure that there's a shakran here. It's the Dini Hazama which are responsible. That is a position which we associate in particular with the Rambam, right? Who number one says that Edom Zomim is Gzeres HaKasuv. Number two, the Rambam's very, very strong formulation, simple reading of the Rambam, which is if you have Hakhasha and Hazama together, right? You treat it as Hakhasha, not as Hazama, even though you also have Hazama. As if they say, Imanu Ayisem, and it didn't happen, right? Since they said it didn't happen, we treat it as Hakhasha, even though they also said Imanu Ayisem. That's a simple, not all the notes that can read the Rambam that way, but that's a simple reading of the Rambam. How could that be? How could you say that you treat that as Hakasha if Imanu Ayisem made them into a real Nido? Right. Moreover, Shitas HaRambam, which is no Hasra, no Maisa, no Shogeg, right? And a couple of other Shitas HaRambam as well. But we tried to explain that the integrated Shitas HaRambam is that Hazama is a Chiddush Shechiddush Torah, even according to Abaya, that there's a Shemed Zomim in all of this, etc., even though it applies L'mafrei. Now, that's true. So then one could argue, that the timing of the Hazama is not just a Hechetimtzi for retrojecting the substantive psul of the Haggadah Seidus Shel Sheker. Rather, the Hazama plays an important role. After all, it's still Chiddush HaTorah. Right? The Hazama is what makes that psul L'mafrei. If that's the case, then perhaps the whole issue could be questioned here. Right? What did we say before? If you have a Karav Apostle, so and he comes to court, and we don't know he's a Karav Apostle. He's already established as a Karav Apostle. Some other best. karov doesn't have to be established. Whatever. Apostle doesn't really have to be established either in terms of you don't need hakarazah. But whatever, he's a karver apostle. And now he gives Eidos, which we didn't know at the time was Eidos Psil because we didn't know his history. Right? And then it turns out, we find out, the guy's apostle, b'shas hagada. So there's never hazama. Hazama is only on effective Eidos. That's true. But let's say the psul is not based on objective psul at all. It's based on the din of hazama. Even though it applies l'mafreya, is it so obvious that that also precludes hazama? And if so, and even if so, maybe it could be mechalek between the situation of where the hazama has not yet taken place and we already know that there's a psul, even though we know that psul only based on some other din of hazama, l'mafreya, as opposed to a situation where everything sequentially went through as an act of hazama, and now when everything, all the roosters, are in the whatever, so now we know l'mafreya that b'shas hagadas eidos there was psul based on the chiddush of hazama. Right, so even that precludes hazama. In other words, if we interpret that Abaya, like Rava, thinks that hazama isn't just the gilui milsa, but hazama is the mechayev of the psul, albeit the psul of mafreya, the whole din isn't so obvious. And even if it is correct, there's still reason to be mechalek between these two cases. In the case where the hazama hasn't yet taken place, and we already know that he's pasul midina, even though it's only based on the mafreya of hazama, still there will be no further hazamos on this basis. But if b'shas naisa, when we implemented hazama, we had yet to know that he was pasul, and it's only a psul, a mafreya, and it's not a substantive psul, it's a consistency psul. So then, you don't say this halacha. Let me say it in a way that it's even clearer, hopefully. Basically, what I'm suggesting is that according to Abaya, if you interpret like the Rambam, right, Udine, it's not l'mafreya l'mafreya, it's a kind of mikano l'haba l'mafreya. Right? Now, I don't know whether it really has to be mikano l'haba l'mafreya. What do I mean by mikano l'haba l'mafreya? Like Reb Chaim explains in the context of miyun, and sometimes some Rishonim think that that's the pshat, Maria Buav and others think that that's the pshat in Breira. Right? Sometimes we apply things l'mafreya, right? But we don't look back and say this is really what it was then. We say that we're applying something that happened now, we're retrojecting its impact backwards. That's called mikano l'haba l'mafreya. There may even be nafkamina sometimes in that going forward period. There could be looking back issues, and there could be as time marches forward issues. The time marching forward issues are not affected by the l'mafreya when it happened. We don't rewrite history that took place. Everything now that is affected by the past going forward, we say is l'mafreya. That's what we have kind of in the miyun situation. So I'm suggesting is something similar according to Abaya, according to the Rambam. Namely, if according to Abaya, it's not the hazamas megala milsa that there's sheker. If it's megala milsa sheker, then the psul is based on sheker. It doesn't matter when we found out. It always was that way, because it's vada. But if it's a din vadai based on the halacha of hazama, but we still don't know whether there's actual sheker, right? So the whole now we're applying it l'mafreya. So if you're talking about whether or not these edim are going to be kosher or pasul for edios that they gave from the time that they, turned out to be pasul l'mafreya until the zman azama, all those edios will be pasul. That's machlokes din Rav and Abaye. Because now when we look back at those edios, the fact that at the time they were ksherim doesn't matter to us so much. The fact that right now l'mafreya, they're pasul is what counts. But when it comes to the actual din of Azama, right? So maybe saying Mikan ul Habala Mafreya is enough to be Makshir. At the time, it was considered a disemes, and even the Mafreya, it's only a din of Sheker, not actual Sheker. So the Gemara says that this, we're drawing the line, Mikanu l'habala mafreya versus l'mafreya, we'll call it that. Even if it doesn't have to be Mikanu l'habala mafreya, but okay, use it for that expression. This Mikanu l'habala mafreya is effective in not undermining, not undoing a hazama. But since it's Mikanu l'habala mafreya, and now you're talking about implementing a hazama, so that you can't do. That's the chiluk of the Gemara. What's particularly fascinating, though, is getting back to what we started with, which is, we said that the Rambam quotes the Mishnah, right? And normally, right, Ben kind of agreed, normally we can't fault the Rambam for quoting the Mishnah, right? The exception being, when the Gemara qualifies the Mishnah in a significant way, and the Rambam doesn't record that. And that's exactly what happened here. Because our Gemara says that when the Mishnah says, Ganav al Bishnayim v'tabachu machar al piyanim suzom mishal menakol, that that's true only what? Only when it is, what's the final conclusion, Yitzi? What? Sof kihadri mitzvah agnebe gloi milsa de chiasadi atvicha psuunavu. Amai mishalmi atvicha. So the Gemara says, Yilchza shi'idu bevasachas buhuzma. But the Rambam doesn't quote it. Right? Rambam doesn't quote that the Reish is only talking about a case of hi'idu bevasachas. Rambam says, if they were made. So again, they're. You could say several things here. You could say that's what it means. That's the case. Shnayim she'idu al zeh she'gonav v'tavach o'machar. Since he says shnayim she'idu al zeh she'gonav v'tavach o'machar, so it is b'vasachas. As opposed to the Mishnah which says, gonav al bishnayim v'tavach o'machar al pihen. There's one way to read the Rambam is that the Rambam holds exactly the maskana sa'gemara. That's why he changed the form. Instead of saying Ganav al Bishnayim v'Tavach al-Machar al-Pien, which sounds like it's two Eduyos by one Kat, the Rambam just says the word Shnayim She'idu al-Zeh She'Ganav v'Tavach al-Machar, which sounds like it is one Haggadah. So by reformulating the Mishnah, actually, the Rambam implicitly endorses the Gemara's qualified Maskana. That certainly may be true. The alternative is that the Rambam doesn't really think that this maskana is muchrach. And that according to the Rambam, lu yitzuyar, it was one kat of edim, you know, b'zeh achar zeh, not b'vasachas, you would still say that there's hazama. So what do you do with the whole discussion of the Gemara? So maybe we could say that the Rambam understood, this is the Rambam Lashitasa, the Rambam understood that this whole Shakla Vitarya, the Gemara, is only according to a certain understanding of Abaye. If you hold that Abaye's rejection of Rava is a principled one, so then everything focuses on the Haggadah Seidus. The Hazama is merely a mechanism for establishing that original Eidus is or is not B'Sheker Gamur. And then there's no difference really between if you were a karav or apostle, you know, already, and then you did Eidos Sheker b'hazama, or if it turns out that through part of the hazama process, it turns out that l'mafreya, you were apostle as a shakron b'shas haggadah. It wouldn't make any difference whatsoever. But if you hold that according to Abaye, right, hazama is a chiddush u'shechid shetorah, and that Abaye basically agrees with Rava, so then, not only the formulation of the, not only the Havamina of the Gemara, which is maybe it depends when, whether this, the Hazama of the Tzvicha took place before the Hazama of the Geneva. Maybe the Rambam will go a step further and say, all right, that distinction we don't accept. Liman of Shach. But instead of rejecting it because it's too little, maybe we reject it because we don't even need it. The whole idea of Mikanu Lahabal and Mafreya as the basis of Hazama, where there isn't really, where it's mostly Hakhasha, not really Hazama, and not really Sheker, so we don't preclude Hazama on that basis. And then the Rambam, now how do you do with the Shaka Vatari the Gemara? So you'd have to say, I don't know exactly, but you have to say something like, the Rambam originally thought, or the Rambam thought that the Gemara was originally assuming that Abaya is operating in one way, right? And at some point, either in this Gemara, or based on the sugyas in Makos, right, the Rambam came to the conclusion that this view of Abaya is not the accepted view of Abaya, and that Abaya's Lamafreya is closer to Rava's Mikanu Lahabal. Maybe. I have one suggestion. Working out the details is a little bit of a problem. You want to make a suggestion? Yeah, exactly. That's what I want to say. Because the Rambam paskins like Rava, the Gemara seems to say in the continuation that there's a debate, Hakhasha Tchilas Hazama or Lav Tchilas Hazama, which we still have to discuss. I don't know if we're going to get to it today. But if not, we'll continue with it on Tuesday. And according to Rashi, a group of Rishonim, right, the debate about Hakhasha Tchilas Hazama, Hakhasha Lav Tchilas Hazama, is also machlokas between Abaya and Rava. Now, the Rishonim would disagree in both directions. Let me make that clear. There is the Balamor. There are 2 days in the Balamor. Hopefully, you've seen this already. There are 2 days in the Balamor. Whether Abaya really disagrees. Maybe even Abaya holds that Hakhasha is Tchilas Hazama, but he's just telling Rava that your Raya is not a good Raya. That's 1 day in the Balamor. Okay. There are also Deus and the Rishonim, Girsos and the Rishonim, who, instead of Rava, have Rabba for the Mandamar, Hakhasha Tchilas Hazama. So the Balamor on the Abaya side, and some of the Girsos on the Rabba Rava side, need to be examined. Either way, if it is Abaya and Rava, which is the majority view of the Rishonim, then we have to ask a second question. And that is, Abaya and Rava's argument about Chasha Tchilas Hazama is connected or not to the question of Mikanu Laba and Lamafreya? Now that is a very tricky question. Maybe we'll discuss it a little more next time. I don't want to get too much into it right now. I think it's very flexible. I mean, to be honest, I'd like to say that they're linked. There are, I think the Marshal says that they're linked. Marshal says it's part of the Al Kagam, right? That we Paskin, most Rishonim Paskin like Abaya, that all Rishonim Paskin, Yal Kagam, that Abaya Lamafreya, and most Rishonim Paskin like Rava, that Hakhasha Tchilas Hazama. Obviously, they don't think that the two are necessarily Habatalia. There are some exceptions. Rashi, in the Mishnah, is taken at least by many of the Mefarshim. You should also get a chance to look at the Pnei Yoshua on Ayin Beis Amud Beis, his discussion about Kosh Tchil Sazama, because he makes explicit, which I think is implicit in Rashi, whether this is true or not. But there are those who understand that Rashi and there are a few other Rishonim Paskin that Hakhasha Lav Tchilas Hazama. Because, and the Marshal says, because it's all part of the Yal Kagam, it's connected to Abaya's Lamafreya. Okay. Tosis discusses this question too a little bit. If you look at Tosis Divra Maskel V'huzmu, V'huzmu L'Agneva V'chozer V'huzmu L'Tricha, right? So Tosis asks, even if you hold like Rava, that Mikanu Labo Nifsal, but shouldn't that undercut Tvicha? Because the main Gneva in Tvicha Mechira. Because Chodzer Behuzma, La Tvicha, Mai Mishalvin. So it says, Yeshomar Mishum de Kasavar Akhasha Tchilas Hazamai. Rabba Lishitaso holds that Akasha is Tchilas Hazama, therefore for him, Imein Gneba, Ein Tzvicha is not a problem. Okay. That in itself is not so obvious, we'll get to that. But the point is that Tosis is linking the two Shitas Rabba. But is that because Tosis thinks that they are conceptually linked? Or just Rabba himself happens to have an out for this problem, Lishitaso? If you look at the next Tosis, Tosis Dimashal She'idu B'Vasachas B'Huzmu, Tosis has a whole thing in the end there, about, you know, the Gemara is talking about, when the Gemara talks about Lamafreya and Mikan Lahaba, they talk only about that, and they don't consider the implications of Hakasha Tchilas Hazama, where they consider the Hakasha Tchilas Hazama issue on the next page, they don't consider it in light of Mikan Lahaba Lamafreya. Each Gemara's go according to its own issue and problem. So it sounds from the second Tosis, She'idu, that even though there is a Machlokas Abai and Rav on both of these points, essentially, there are two different machloks, and you can go either way with them. And I say the Rishonim will go either way with them. The Rishonim will say it isn't even Abai and Rava, Balamor on one side, and Rishonim about Rava on the other side. Oh. However, if you all like the Marshal and others, that there is a connection. Now, what that connection would be, I'd say it's very flexible. I don't think it's so obvious. But if there is a connection, then it suggests there are suggestive ways to explain it. We'll discuss them a little bit. If there is a connection, Or let me say it this way. Maybe this would be an explanation for the Rambam. This is what Baruch Dov was suggesting, and this is what I had in mind as well. Which is, maybe the Rambam will say that the Gemara, which links Abaya Lamafreya to the requirement of Haggadah B'Vasachas, namely, that zeroes in not on the Zman or the significance of the Hazama, but on the Zman and the status of the goddess Eidos exclusively, that's because they have a certain view of Abaya. And that view is connected to Abaya Lishitaso's view that Hakasha is Lav Tchilas Hazama. Because you have to explain somehow, this is where the flexibility comes in, to be honest, I can explain it either way. If somehow Akasha Lav Tchilas Hazama was more consistent with the view that we're dealing with Sheker and not simply with a Dinin Hazama, right? Now, an easy way to explain that would be Akasha Lav Tchilas Hazama, because Akasha and Hazama for Abaya are just, you know, light years apart. It's not that it's a glorified trey utrey. Hazama is Eidos al Nidon, right? It's Sheker. So Hakasha is Lav Tchilas Hazama. Right. Of course, this would work only if you explain that the issue of Hakasha Tchilas Hazama not has to do with the relationship between Hakasha and Hazama very specifically, which sounds that way in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Ela Shelo Nigmara. And the Rambam paskins that way. Also, the Ram says, Ela Shelo Nigmara. Balitosis assume Akasha Tchilas Hazama, Lav Tchilas Hazama is a question that has nothing to do with the relationship between Akasha and Hazama. It has to do with a different question, another important question, and that is, and this we'll elaborate next time, it has to do with the issue of whether or not the order of Hazama matters. If you get past if the Eidos was effective Eidos, do we care that the Eidos is still effective Bizmana Hazama? Or as long as it was effective Bishasa Eidos, we don't care about its effectiveness Bizman HaHazama. That's how the Bali Tosis understand Akasha, Tchilas or Lav Tchilas Hazama. That's why for them it's not no Yichlus to Akasha. There's nothing to do with the relationship of Akasha and Hazama. It's a question in Hazama. In Dine Hazama, do we care about the effectiveness of the Eidos only Bizman HaEidos, or even Bizman HaHazama? But according to the Rambam, it doesn't sound that way. According to the Rambam, and I think Rashi, the issue of Akasha Tchilas HaZama is about the relationship specifically between Akasha and Hazama. It's a little bit of a problem how to read the Gemara in the continuation, but maybe this would help us too. I'll explain in a minute. So if that's the case, maybe we could say as follows. According to Abaya, Akasha Lav Tchilas HaZama, meaning there's no link between Akhasha and Azama. You can't see Akhasha as the beginning of that process because Akhasha is about the Eidus and Azama is about the Eidim. That's the Abaya that we're working with in the Sugya. Right? And that's the Abaya of Lamafreya who Nifsal. And that's why the focus is on the Eidus. And that's why the Gemara says it's like if you would be Karav Apostle from some other source in advance. What do we care that it's Lamafrey? Lamafrey is only about our perception. The reality is that Bishas Maisa, you were an Eid Apostle. We just didn't know about it. But if Lamaskana, we can paskin like Rava, which the Rambam does, and say Hakhasha, Tchilas, Hazama. And why is Hakhasha, Tchilas, Hazama? The Rambam adds the words of that sometimes appear in the Gemara, Ela Shalo Nigmara, which make it sound like, he doesn't look like learn like Bali Tosis, that the issue is, do we care, Bizman Azama, that it's still effective, or as long as it was effective, Bishasa Edas? No, the issue is something else. The issue is, hardcore, what's the relationship between Akasha and Azama? So here, the Rambam is particularly focused on saying, Akasha Tchilas Azama Shalom Nigmara, because what is the Rambam's definition of Azama? Rambam says it's like Akasha. It's so like Akasha that if you have Akasha and Azama together, it's not Sheker, as we've explained. If you have, you know, Akasha prime and Akasha, you know, deviant, you go with Akasha prime. That's the Rambam Shita. And the Rambam also says if you had Akasha and you could prove 100% that the guy was lying through Eidus, not through Bahar and Baraglav, apparently, but through Eidus, that would have been Azama too. That's another line in the Rambam. In Perikid Ches, Hilchos Eidus. So maybe the Rambam says, well, if we paskin like Abaya Lamafreya, and yet we paskin like Rava about Hakasha Tchilas Azama, so then what we're saying now is that Lamafreya doesn't mean Sheker, Vadai, you know, as a din and nidon. But now that's where we're shifting gear, that the real pshad of Lamafreya is, right, Mikano Labo Lamafreya. Ah, if that's what it is, then this whole requirement of the Vasachas doesn't exist. Is that what you wanted to say also? Okay, good. I mean, he connects the two halachos. Yeah, but it's in Perikid. In where's it? Yud Ches. What's the halacha there? One second. Is it Yud Ches? Just one second. Again, this would be a major chiddush to read this way, but I. Okay. One second. Yeah. Eidim, the Rambam says, and it's prefaced by Aleph. I mean, again, this is Perik Yud Ches, the way it goes. Right? Perik Aleph, Perik Yud Ches, Alach Aleph and Beis, is this whole difference between Akasha. Again, it's in the context of Akasha, as we. Mishayid b'sheker, v'noda b'eidim shayid b'sheker, zewa nikreid zome. Mitzase lasos lo kamosha matzal lasos beiduso. In Baver Shachayon of Skila, Vimedu Malkis, etc. Vamedra Mamur made him Shehuzmu. I will shake it in Machisha Zuazu, Enkan Eidus, Vain Onshin Esakas Mehan. Again, as we noted, Ram introduces Dine Hakasha in the context of Azama. Right? And then he says, Afisha Enu Yodim, Miakata Shakranis, implying that otherwise it would be Dine Hazama, Umabe Nakasha Azama. This is the whole thrust of Perikid Ches is the tight relationship between Hakasha and Hazama. Hakasha could have been Hazama if through Eidus we could prove it. And Hazama is like Hakasha in the sense that it gives way to real Hakasha and in the sense that it's only Xeris Hakasa. So the relationship between Hakasha and Hazama in both directions is established clearly in the Rambam here. That goes all through Halacha Beis. Then Halacha Gimel is Zeh Shemina Torah Edom Achronim Alayi Reinim Rishonim Gzeres HaKasavi, because as he's explained, it's really an offshoot and it has this fascinating relationship with Hakasha. That's Halacha Gimel. And then, again, the Halacha of Trei Kaneah The Rambam introduces in this context. Also, hakhash alach. Afilo yedim harishonim meyo ba'u shnayim ve'zimum harel nasim alpiyem shashnayim kemeya umeya kishnayim. V'chein b'shteikit edim hakish azuzu en olchan achar rov eldoch. I'm just saying, if you're sensitive to the Rambam, he chooses to introduce all these dinim of hazama and of hakhasha in the context of hazama and as part of the comparison slash contrast. Then comes alach adalet. Edim zomim enim tzrichin asra, which he elaborates in Parakhaf Halach Adalid, where we see again, Ein Bamaisa, Ein Boshkaga, Ein Basra. And then, you're absolutely right, the Edim Shehuk Chashul B'sof Huzmu, right, which is the din of HaKhasha Tchilas Hazama, HaRe'el Nerogin, Olokin, Omishalvin, Shakhasha Tchilas Hazama, Elishadayin L'Nigmara. So the din of HaKhasha Tchilas Hazama in the Rambam is in the context of all these dinim about the relationship between the two of them, and the fact that hazama is not a nidon, it's not a vaday sheker, that there is no hasra, etc. So that might be the way the Rambam would interpret this whole issue. Rambam says, originally, when the Gemara is talking about abaya, and abaya is connected, hakhasha lav tchilas hazama, that's the, not even lamafreya, but, you know, igloi lamafreya, sheker. But halacha, we accept l'mafreya, the al kagam, but we reformulate it in Rava-like terms, including the psak of hakhasha tchilas hazama, as the Rambam specifically understands it. And if that's the case, then instead of saying, oh, he implicitly is only talking about bivasachas, even though he doesn't explicate it, he changed the language of the Mishnah, which is true. And I don't discount that possibility either. The other way to say it would be that not only would he accept the Havamina about Tvicha, Hazamas Tvicha, Lefnei Hazamas Gneva, but even Hazamas Gneva, Kodem Hazamas Tvicha, even that would not be a problem given this perspective in Abaya. Yeah, did you have something more to add?
That's what I saw from the interesting parts of the Palm Reader that even in Abaya.
Yeah, that's what we're saying. 100%. The whole Akhash Azamah impresses that on, the Gzeres HaKasev does, and the Hasra, especially in light of Perek Chaf, Halacha Dalid, where we know that the Hasra isn't just a Hasra din, but it's a din in Ein B'Shogeg, Ein B'Maisa, etc. That's all to illustrate that we're not talking about real Sheker, we're talking about Shem Eitzel. 100%. Yeah.
I think the point that Rebbe brought from Chaim is different than...
what did I say in the Nibra B'Chaim? About Miyun, Mikano B'Alamafreya?
That
I just gave that as an example of a phenomenon. Yeah.
So that I think was different than what I was trying to say, because I think Rebbe was focused on the second Hazama and the way in which the second Hazama works and not the first Hazama. Meaning I was trying to say that the first Hazama, you know, stands despite the fact that you have a Lefreya coming afterwards, since you know it's already been established in based into and formally so, like, you know, almost like Kanas, so therefore it sort of stands.
I mean, if the Hazama precedes, if the Psul, the Mafreya, precedes the second Hazama.
Correct.
I think we end up saying the same thing. But that, I mean, that's to explain the line in the Gemara. I'm just trying to take it now a step further for the Ratan. Now, in the Gemara, the Gemara is making a chiluk between Hazama la Mafreya and Hazama Mikanu la Haba. What I'm saying is that for the Rambam, even Edus la Mafreya, even Psoletus Lamafreya is not a problem for Azam, for the Rambam, if indeed the Rambam is rejecting the Maskana Sagamara.
But I mean, according to the Mekhanu Lamafreya point, right, the Mekhanu Lamafreya point, right. Then you shouldn't the order of Tvicha and Gidni matter? Tvicha and Gidni Hazamas.
You mean if the Rambam? No, what I'm saying is, that's exactly what I'm saying. The Rambam takes it a step further than the Havamin of the Gemara. Havamin of the Gemara was, listen, it's Lamafreya, but it's only Mikano Labala Mafreya. And therefore, when it comes to acting on a new Azama, we already know about the Slama Freya now. So it's like a Mikano Lahaba of the Mikano Labala Mafreya. Okay. But in the case of where the Hazama of the Gneva already took place, to say, well, now we know that, you know, you're only Pasul Lamafreya, but nonetheless, we're still going to implement hazama on the tvicha, that far you won't go. That's what the Gemara says.
Right.
But I'm saying, what I'm saying is the Rambam will just say the whole assumption, which is, you know, just because if you're really a, if you're a real Karav apostle, and we didn't know about it earlier, but you were one, that that precludes any kind of azama, because v'shas edus you weren't an effective aid, as it turns out. That whole halacha is just not true when it comes to a ineffectiveness edus that is a result of this hazama. Because that isn't objective. We don't really know that you're a chakran. So we treat you as an aid possible, but we treat you that way mikanu l'haba l'mafreya. And it was l'mafreya when you gave that edus. It may be mikanu l'haba now that we're deciding to implement hazama on that edus. But it was still l'mafreya when you actually gave the testimony. Understand what I'm saying? I've got to go to the Where's my chalk? It's here and waiting to go? Okay. Okay, so we have the Shas Edus, right? We'll call it T1. Okay, then we have T2, which is Hazama. So the point is, okay, we actually have Hazama Aleph and Hazama Beis. Okay. So the point is that what the Gemara is saying, all the Gemara is really saying, is that if you do the Hazama of the Tzvicha before the Hazama of the Geneva, right? So at the time when you did, let's say, the first Hazama of the Tzvicha, the Edus of the Geneva was not challenged. That's fine. But, and therefore, the hazama that you're trying to do now of tvicha is going to apply to the edus of tvicha. Because the earlier edus of gneva did not render it yet psul. So you had an edus ksheira in its time, and now you have a hazama of what it still appears to have been an edus ksheira in its time. And you'll go forward with that. Now, comes Hazama Beis for the Geneva. This Hazama Beis, not a very good, old-fashioned chalk, retrojects us back to, we should really have Edus Aleph and Beis too, right? Retrojects back to Edus Aleph. So it turns out that when you did Edus Beis on the Tvicha, right, that you were apostle. But we already did the Hazama on this, we linked this up with this when it was perfectly fine. So what you're now asking to do is to go back and to take this away. You want to l'mafreya. That's different than saying, let's say the other case, which is, what's the other case? The other case is you gave edus gneva. You gave edus tzvicha. At the time we thought they were ksherim. Then it turns out that there is hazama on the, let's say this one is the Geneva now. Hazama on the Geneva. Hazama on the Geneva goes back to here. Once you get to here, we still don't know about this, but you're already an aid pasul by the time you came here. You haven't yet done the Hazama here. Now you come to do the Hazama here, you're already, before we implement the Hazama, we already know that you're an aid pasul. We may only know it l'mafreya, but we know it before we implement the second Hazama. That's the Gemara's distinction. But the Rambam is going to say, if this is indeed the Pshat in the Rambam, that we don't really care about any of this, because this is always a question mark. This is always is it really sheker or is it a din of sheker? As long as it's a question mark sheker and a din sheker rather than a vadai sheker, as long as b'shas ha'edus we had no reason to suspect anything, we don't really care about the order of the hazamas either, because it's not comparable to a real Karav apostle who really was objectively possible b'shas. We still don't know. Maybe they're not. Perhaps they're telling the truth. The only reason we don't treat it as the truth, we kind of habal mafreyad because of the din of azama. But since we can't really be sure, so even if this, let's say hazama's gneva would go back to here, right? It wouldn't matter. We could still do hazama's tzvicha.
I guess the problem was that the Reb Chaim's formulation.
Now you know why I don't use the board. And it's, you know, it's, if you've never taken an education course, you know, then you don't, like, you never learn how to use the board. Yeah, go ahead.
Point that it sounds more general, that not special to Hazama.
And you're going to lose the whole idea of, like, the finger, the, you know, the nails on the because of this. That's terrible. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So the marker squeaks as you write. So it sort of like
squeaks,
a,
but
yeah, it's a squeak. Sure.
That horrible.
Yeah.
Which is important. It's like a Euro thing. Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
So, a kind of point sounds more general. The sense of, in the case of Miyun.
Right.
Oh, but I guess we're not really saying, we're just using a kind as a model
right.
for Hazama, but not saying him.
Yeah, I'm not, right, exactly. I'm just trying to show that there are two types of lamafreyas in general. There are the ones where we really look back, well, there are really three, I guess you could say. There are some where, you know, we just didn't know anything at the time, but it's just totally our lack of idea, but this is the way it always was, even sequentially when it happened. That's one. That's not lamafreyas so much, I mean, it always was. Then there, the opposite extreme is what we call mikamdu lahabal lamafreya, which basically means we are projecting backwards, but we're acknowledging that as time was moving forwards in a linear way, that it wasn't this way, or it wasn't necessarily this way. We're just applying in a consistent way, or whatever way, we're applying this idea backwards. Right? And then there's a third one, the middle one, which is lamafreya, meaning it wasn't just a lack of idea, but maybe it was more than that, but we're really rewriting history. And then al pi din, this didn't happen. And even in retrospect, it didn't happen. Okay, those are just different models of lamafreya. I'm just saying, the Gemara here is saying something very important. The Rambam may be saying something even, or going even further. Now, this idea of vasachas, of course, raises another question. We'll have to stop in a minute. Are we okay so far? Then, good. And we're yotzei for the year with the board? Either way, I mean, I have to get markers that are a little better than that. I'm not going to bother otherwise. Okay. Of course, what this really raises again is A, about the relationship between Koshet Chilas Hazama, and gives me the opportunity to have done some of those issues. Hopefully, we won't have to repeat them next time. This machlokas is it Abayin Rava, both on the Abaya side and on the Rava Rabba side? Even if it is it a totally separate machlokas, or is it connected to how Hazama works? That seems to be machlokas Rishonim. If it is connected, how is it connected? I think that's also not so pashut. I gave one scenario because I think it works out nicely in this view of the Rambam, and also I agree with Baruch Dov in terms of the placement of it and the language that he uses, and I think the fact that he, unlike the Gemara, limits Hakasha Tchilas Hazama to issues of Hakasha, which Balei Tosas don't. I think, again, that might be part of the transition in the Gemara, which we'll discuss next time. But all this raises the question in general about the relationship between the two factors. In every Hazama, there are two primary times and factors. One is the Haggadah Eidos, and the other is the Hazama. And essentially, that's what we're focusing on. You know, whether or not the order of the Hazama, the timing of the Hazama, is that ever relevant beyond what it reflects about the order and timing of the Eidos. So in a way, this forces us to, address the question again, even for Abaya, even though it's Lamafreya, maybe the Hazama is still crucial. That's what we're trying to show in the Havamin of the Gemara, and maybe even the Maskana in a more radical way for the Rambam. But one could ask this question for Rava too, right? The Rava holds Mikanul Habon Nifsal. So does that mean that he discounts the Maisa and the Zman of Haggadah Eidos completely, right? And essentially, that's kind of what Tosis was asking when Tosis said, "Afilu l'man d'amar mikan l'abo nifsal, tikshu mikol mokom m'mein geneva, ein tvicha u'mechira." I think that's partially this question, and hopefully we'll get back to it. Again, Tosis answers by saying he happens to hold Akasha Tchilas Hazama. But otherwise, Tosfos seems to be assuming that if you hold Mikan Ula Haba, even if you hold Mikan Ula Haba, there would be a problem of a main Gneva Ein Tvicha. I'm not sure whether one couldn't answer that, according to Rava, who believes in Shame Aid Zomeim, maybe this this requirement in Hazama that it be fully effective, even in a practical way, lamafreya, just doesn't exist. Maybe that's an abaya type requirement, because for abaya we focus on the Haggadah Seidus and the moment of the Haggadah Seidus, but maybe for Rava we don't at all. So just pointing that out, that it's important to assess abaya and Rava. Instead of just saying it's machlokas abaya and Rava, or it depends on machlokas abaya and Rava, which it very well may be, even abaya may be close to Rava, and even Rava in some respects may not completely reject some of the notions of abaya. Now the maskana here is also very intriguing. And we have three shittas that I just want to speak about before we move on to the next part of the Gemara. We're going to have to stop in 1 minute because I have to run to the other building. But let me just mention it. So what is the, Yitzi, what is the maskanas of Gemara? Hilchasa bevasachas. Okay. So, and how does that work? How does that get you out of the problem? So is this obvious or not, this part? Basically we're saying draw a bit, you know, we can, you know, draw that big circle around the two. We have, you know, you have the two set, two parts, and we're just drawing a big circle around it. Here he was puzzle, right? This is Gneva, right? This is Tvicha. Okay. So we're saying draw a big circle around it, and he's not puzzle until here. And therefore when he gave this testimony, he was kosher. Can everybody see that? Okay. Correct? That's what the Gemara is saying, according to Rashi. And according to most Rishonim. Is that obvious?
Well, right. According to the Rambam, that would be very
Yeah. So the question is, well, so number one, the Rambam may not have liked it. Maybe that's one of the reasons that the Rambam, he may not have liked it at all. And also he may have thought that it's contradicted by the next Gemara, which we have to talk about too. But basically, this is a huge chiddush to say just because these two things are circled, that the psul gavra is at the later end of it. And in theory, if I say that it's Tokhti Dibur Vasachas, I might say that it all starts from here. And not only that, but maybe even here goes back to here. Let's just say he was Pasol on the Mishas Tvicha first. So maybe Goy Milsal Mafreya, the Mishas Gneva, there's no Agada, and then when you get to Hazaman Gneva, it's too late. Which is the way that some Rishonim read the next lines of the Gemara. Right? I just leave the next lines for a minute. This will take one more minute. Right. Okay, so stop for a second. So this idea of Eidah Shebatla Mitzasa Batla Kula, which we have to examine. By the way, just add to the Makaros that I gave you. Again, I don't want to spend much time on it, but also just look at the Rav Chaim in Hilchos Eidus about Eidah Shebatla Mitzasa very, very quickly. Perek Yedalid, I think it's Perek Yedalid Halacha Vav. Thank you. Okay. Because he asks, Perek Yedalid Halacha. I think it's Vav, either Vav or Zion. Look at the Reb Chaim, small Reb Chaim there also. Right. So there's, the Gemara seems to change its mind almost. Right. According to many Rishonim, not really. Rather, that idea of Eidus, because then the Gemara is talking about the opposite. Here the Gemara says, if you were Pasol, Bishas, Gneva, it doesn't ruin the Hazama for Tvicha. Right? And the next Gemara says, if you're Pasol, Mishas, Tvicha, it already ruins it for Gneva. right? The way Tosfos Ben Peretz asks the question in the most explicit way, right? If Gneva doesn't passel what comes afterwards, Tvicha, until the end of the circle, Tokedei Dibur, right? Then how are you going to explain that Tvicha passels Gneva that came before it because of the beginning of the circle? Right? If the beginning of the circle doesn't affect until the end, then how can the end affect from before the beginning? It's one or the other. That's what Tosfos Ben Peretz asks. It says, Kol Shekein, if the Gneva doesn't ruin the Tvicha, how's the Tvicha going to ruin the Gneva? Which is why Tosfos Ben Peretz says that the Gemara's idea here is a totally different idea. Namely, not the idea of Psul Gavra, the Sheet of Gemara, I told you to look at. But, Eid Shabbat Mitzasa Bat Lakula. We'll have to explain that. The point is that this whole idea is not obvious. It's not obvious from a Tokedei Dibur point of view. It's not obvious from a Hazama point of view. But that's the way the most Rishonim interpret. Now, Tosas explains it in his own way, Lishitasam. How does it work according to Tosas? Efshar b'chazara. Right, that's the Tosas here, She'idu. Tosas says, Kivin she'idu b'achas k'she'er mo'yuk. That's how Tosfos explains it. If you don't say kiyachol lachzor, you might explain because that's the din of bevasachas. It's hemsheich echad. So we'll explain. We'll have to discuss that. But there are, before we get to that even, that's the way Rashi and Moshe Shonim interpret the Gemara. The fact is that there are two other explanations that could be given in the maskana of the Gemara. Even if you accept the maskan. One is the Rajbam. I don't think I gave it to you to look at. So look at it for next time. In Rabbeinu Yeshaya on the spot, on the Alatar, Rabbeinu Yeshaya, in the end of the piece, he quotes the Rajbam. And the other is the Ravid that is quoted by the Balamor. So make sure you look for the Balamors and the Rambans for next time. The ones that we told you to look at, Chav Chesam and Al Tuchas Chesam, based on the Dapi Arif. Look at that Rajbam. Look at Rabbeinu Peretz, of course. Also look at the Meiri and the Ravid. How they read the next Gemara also. Okay, the Meiri and the Meiri, the Ravid, and the Ramah. Sorry, the Meiri, the Ravid, and the Ramah Latar. And add this Reb Chaim to the Mar Makomos, and we'll try to finish up, if we can, Tuesday I'll try to finish up this part of it, and then maybe Thursday we can do Toch Kedei Dibur. Okay, stop.
Maybe?
Yeah.
Is it...
Do we have a... Do you want to do Mincha?